The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Stop. That segues us right into the weather report I'm going to give you right now. It's not raining.
No, as a matter of fact. I just saw some raining homeless people, but other than that, it seems to be pretty dry today. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest with Nick Gardner and Doug Janke. Nick, how is your weekend going, my friend?
So far, so good.
We've got a lot of, you've got more papers here than the local library, so it looks like we're going to have a good show today.
Yes, well, at 8:15, we've got a gentleman by the name of Steve Kearns, who is with the Shasta County Planning Department, I believe, and he's going to bring us up to speed on the Hatchet Wind Project. He was at the city or the supervisor's meeting. He got 3 minutes to speak, and I learned more in that 3 minutes than the Daily Movement ever puts in the papers. So I decided that if he would, he'd come in and he'd call in and give us an update, and he is going to. So I look forward to that.
All right. Well, what's on deck? And let's start off because there, I mean, you know, other than the most secure location on the face of the planet bringing in cocaine that they can't find, what else is happening in the world, Nick?
Well, you know, I went to, let's see this here. The state has passed a law. Or maybe they're getting ready to pass the law. AB 1078, should it pass, will outlaw taking obscene and pornographic materials out of the schools.
Yes, yes, because that's what young kids need to be seeing more and more of every day.
And what is it here? Assemblyman Jackson has stated in previous hearings that those who oppose the state's actions as part of a Christian white supremacist movement that aims to ban books. That's what we're after. We're wanting to ban books.
It's just like we're back in Nazi Germany, except that, you know, we don't want kids to be seeing all that kind of pornography, and that makes us right-wing Christian conservative terrorist. You can't make this stuff up, Nick. You can't. I mean, the liberals are out there, and their beliefs, their politicians, the people they want, you just can't make up this kind of stuff. I mean, we would have never had this discussion 10 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, teaching sex education to your kids is kind of an embarrassing, sometimes touchy subject. I remember when my son was in about third or fourth grade, and I asked him if he wanted me to show him how to use a condom. I think he thought I was going to unzip my pants. I had a cucumber in mind.
And there you go to start the show with old Nick. I mean, all I ever heard was the birds and bees, and my mom walked away. And I'm like, what do you mean birds and bees? She goes, just look at a bird and a bee, you'll figure it out. Well, you know, Nick, we've got about 5 minutes to kill before our guest. So are we going to talk about the recall of Kevin Cryer? Do you want to talk about David Kehoe's letter? Do you want to talk about the signature petition? What do we want to talk about for the next couple of minutes, Fur?
I was saving the last half hour for David Kehoe's letter.
Yes.
And we've got it here. I'm going to read it. We're going to pick it apart point by point, but it's not hard. But we might talk about climate change, and here's a question you could ask a climate supporter, one that thinks that we're getting hot. If CO2 is the enemy, and we are creating too much CO2, but CO2 is essential to life, then what is the right amount of CO2 that should be in the atmosphere?
Well, they don't know. And they will never know because it has gone up and down historically. There have been super hot periods, super cold periods, and no humans actually intervened in any of that. And I was listening to a podcast, and I believe the gentleman was a NASA scientist, and he had stated that the Antarctic ice sheet has grown by 2,200 square miles in the last year and a half. It's actually growing, not getting smaller. It's actually growing. Now, I don't know if we want all that weight at the bottom of the earth, but hey, it's growing.
Yes, okay. Well, here's a comment. This is from the Sentinel Sheep. It was epic. Our ski area here in Idaho-Wyoming border received 55 feet of snow last winter. Had weeks of zero or below every morning. It was our reality. Actually, we always get great winters here, but every year we are warned by the local news. Probably their name of their paper is the Daily Movement also. It could never snow again. They switched it to this. Now get this. There's too much snow, flood danger in the spring caused by climate change. Snow in the winter is an abnormality. Alert, alert.
At a snow ski or a ski resort, snow is an abnormality. That's an interesting take on it. You know what's funny, Nick? You can tell that the climate change thing is a big hoax from the top to the bottom. It's because it always starts off with, this is the hottest day since. As soon as you hear the word since, that tells you that in that year, it was hotter. And nobody made a stink about any of the heat back then. This is the hottest day since, December 1947. Oh, so it was hotter in December of 1947, for example. So as soon as you hear the word since, that tells you it's a fake. So, yeah. But snow resorts, I would say, is probably very strange, very weird.
I'll tell you this. I've grown up in Redding, and the summers have gotten more calm than they used to be. When I was 15, it was 123 twice that summer. And it takes a while to build up on one side and go down the other. We never used to have a breeze in the summers. We have breezes now. It's not near as bad as it used to be. You know, the Mosquito Serenade down there in Anderson, there's a reason they called it the Mosquito Serenade. With that breeze, it's not so bad anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reality is the environment is changing. The climate is changing. We've had ice ages. We've had extreme heat. It's normal. We're not causing any of it. Now, do we poo where we sleep? Absolutely. We pollute like a son of a gun, and that's bad. But
what,
we're not
you trying to say homelessness is natural?
I'm just saying that as humans, we are probably the worst animal on the planet Earth because we will destroy our own water sources. But in terms of us changing the environment, that ain't happening.
Okay, well, I've got an announcement. I ran across this poster here in town, so I took it down and I brought it in. I want all the people on the recall to be aware of this. It's a Mount Shasta Men's Retreat, August 4th through the 7th, 2023, uniting the divine masculine with the divine feminine.
Wow.
So some of you guys, be sure and go to that if that suits you, if that describes you.
Well, and you know, that's probably going to be soft and squishy. There's going to be a lot of tears shed. They're going to hug each other and hug it out. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen there at the retreat.
And probably skinny dipping there in Siskiyou Reservoir.
probably doing a little bit of the ganja to get into the right mode is what I'm thinking.
Have you ever been up to Castle Lake?
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh, the Rastafarians have taken it over.
Oh, really?
I haven't been up there for a couple, 2 or 3 years, but the last time I was up there, the Rastafarians were there. And Signe, my wife, and I and another gal were going kayaking. And this one little Rastafarian girl, she comes over topless. Would you look for my jug of lemonade that floated off? It was in an iced tea container, and she made it off. She set it in the water, and it floated off. And we were kayaking along, and I found it. It was had ice in it, and it was ready to go. And I took it back to her, and she was so nice.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See? Doesn't mean they have to be bad people.
Oh, no. Heck no. They're happy most of the time. They fit right in Mount Shasta.
Yeah. Well, I used to own a condo in Mount Shasta, and we were up there for a 4th of July parade. Oh, God, this is probably going to be 20 years ago. And this predated all of the stuff that's going on now. And so they had this parade with, I don't know, 7 or 8 things, and it was over. So it was a pretty quick parade. But one of the floats, if we want to call it that, was a trailer. And it had a complete float of only gays, drags, you name it, going through downtown Mount Shasta. And people were like, yay. And I was near some people going, what in the blank is this? So Mount Shasta is a little progressive.
Well, you know, I worked in logging all my life, and I worked around Mount Shasta a few times. And I dare say in 1980, that float wouldn't have lasted but about a half a block.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was people around us that were, I'm amazed it lasted as long as it did. But, yeah, it was just funny. As we were in Mount Shasta getting, you know, having a 4th of July celebration, and here was a parade float or trailer coming through that would have been just at home at the San Francisco Gay Parade.
And now they're coming after your children.
Yes, they are. They keep saying they're not, but then you get the sound clips of them saying they're coming after your children. And so, yes, they are.
And those books that they want to ban us from taking out of the schools promote it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here's a bill in the state Senate that's saying that, you know, you're not allowed to take them out if it passes. And it will pass because they've got a supermajority and they just can't stop. They can't help themselves. They're so down the rabbit hole of this destruction of our country, they can't stop it. They can't turn it around. And so it will pass. It will get through.
Hey, you know, I've got a clip from Carl's show Friday with Doug LaMalfa. And good, Steve, hang on. We're going to be just, we'll do this clip and we'll get you on. So could you play that first clip for us?
But everybody's hurt by the higher expenses of energy, of the supply chain being messed up. You don't know if you're going to get what you get. The people working there, these are good folks working hard. You know, they need a little better wage than what they were getting because now everything's so expensive. $6 gas, $5 gas, your electricity. So, but for the customer too, it's like, as you just said, you know, it might be $40 for two people to eat breakfast. Like, well, how many times can you do that? So it's hard on everybody. And what it boils back to, Carl, is that everything kind of revolves around the cost of energy. And so Biden has had a war on oil and gas and on pipelines and all that the moment he walked in the door. And you just go back, and I'm not here to make a big advertisement for President Trump per se here. But look what happened those 4 years. We had energy costs that were as low as they'd been proportionally in a long, long time. As soon as that we replaced with, you know, they replaced with the Biden regime, costs skyrocketed, and they bragged because when, you know, it was at $6.50 and it came down a little bit, said, yeah, we lowered gas prices. Like, you know, are we really that stupid? And then he passed it on through the cost of all our electricity, and these dummies want to convert everything to electric cars. And I was really bothered hearing that ad from Reading Electric there that are going to hand out rebates for buying electric cars based on what the ratepayers of everybody else that doesn't buy an electric car in Reading is going to have to deal with, you know. I mean, I'd be upset over that because they're going to try to, what was it, $3,000 for every electric car. You know, the rest of the ratepayers are going to pay for that. And this doesn't work. This doesn't work nationally because the electrical grid isn't there to do all this stuff. But it's all, you know, ESG, right at work right there.
Okay, so if they weren't doing that, you know, the city of Reading's electric utility could probably cut the price of electricity in half if the city wasn't using it as their piggy bank.
Well, and I said it on our show, and I said it on Carl's show, that I was also very pissed off about that rebate because the majority, the overwhelming majority of folks who do not have electric vehicles are going to be giving these other people rebates on actually vehicles that cost. I mean, there's a new thing coming out, Nick. Since you brought it up, they've now discovered that because the average electric car weighs at least 2,000 pounds more than a standard gas or diesel car, the roads are going to start to wear out much faster because they're having these heavier cars. And so when that thing came out and I heard that ad, I was so angry. And I'm not even an REU payer anymore, but I used to be, because they're giving a small select group people money for something that, if it was really that good, it would stand by itself. They would not need to give rebates on Teslas and everything else that have gotten it here. So, yeah, I'm like with Lamoff on that one. That's a bad plan.
Well, I've said all along, government shouldn't be in the profit-generating business. And as an example, my uncle moved out here from Lamar, Missouri, and he continued to get the paper out here till he died last year at 102 or 3. But one day I was over there, and he said, look at this. And I looked in the paper, and there was a small little advertisement there type deal. It said there will be no electric bill this month. And what had happened is years ago, the city fathers had invested in some electricity generating plants, and all the profits went to the community. and they paid their electric bills, which were dirt cheap, and every once in a while when they were ahead, they returned that back to the citizens. And he said once or twice a year that'll be in there. There'll be no electrical bill this month.
Wow. Imagine that, actually giving something back to the people paying the rates.
Hey, Steve, are you there?
I am.
Oh, great. We're going to let you take over. Maybe that's what they want to do with them windmills. Do you suppose they want to give us all free electricity?
Yeah.
Well, introduce yourself, Steve, and tell us what you have to say about the Fountain Wind Project. Doug and I believe in letting our guests talk, and maybe we'll ask a question or two when you're done.
All right. Well, you kind of asked me to give you a brief history on where we've come from and where we are right now. As probably most people know, a Texas-based company, ConnectGen, made application to Shasta County to construct a large number of windmills up in the Montgomery Creek, Round Mountain area, and they wanted to erect over 70 windmills up there, and each of them would be as tall as Shasta Dam, absolutely huge. Well, there were a number of, they went through the whole environmental review process, and it came before the Planning Commission at a long meeting back in June of 2021, and we had been reading the EIR and receiving all kinds of comments for 3 years prior to that, and there were over 400 people at Shasta College for that meeting, and the meeting went on for 10 hours, after which the Planning Commission voted to deny the permit by a vote of 5-0, basically for three reasons. One reason was the aesthetics of the beautiful mountain areas and the Highway 299 going up through there. The second was the Native American tribal cultural issues with the Pitt River Tribe, which is a very important part of our community up here. And we were made aware of some significant religious experiences that they have in those mountains, and those mountains are really important to them. And the third reason was for the ability to fight fire. We found that the EIR was insufficient in really addressing that issue because we heard testimony from tanker pilots, air tanker pilots, that you simply cannot fight a fire in a windmill farm. And so because our county is rated, or most of our county is rated in the highest tier of fire severity by California Department of Forestry, and if you know the Intermountain Country, that area burned back in 1992 with the Fountain Fire, which was one of the first major fires we had in California. 84,000 acres in 4 days, all the way from the Montgomery Creek area, Round Mountain area, all the way over to Burney. And so, anyway, we denied it, and the ConnectGen appealed that decision to the Board of Supervisors. And in October of 2001, after another long meeting and a lot of testimony, the supervisors upheld the Planning Commission decision and denied the project 4-1. After which time, the Planning Commission, with the help of staff and county council, drafted a zoning ordinance that would prohibit the construction of large industrial wind farms within all the unincorporated areas of Shasta County. And we did that basically for the protection of our citizens, because if we had a wind farm, we cannot fight fire in that. That puts everybody at risk. That went to the Board of Supervisors. They passed that zoning amendment unanimously. So presently, we have a zoning amendment. You can't build windmills, large industrial wind farms in our county. Then back in January, pardon me, of this year, Assembly Bill 205 was passed, and the governor signed it into law, which basically said that an energy company could make application directly to the California Energy Commission and circumvent the county planning process. And the CEC could approve a windmill project if it had two criteria that would override CEQA, one being if it contributed energy to the grid, the second if it made economic sense to the county and to the state. Well, that's a wide open field. And what the law basically said is if the CEC finds those two criteria are met, it can override all the CEQA environmental concerns. So Connection almost immediately applied to the CEC for a permit for exactly the same area that they wanted to work in when we denied their project. They reduced the scale down to, I think, it's 48 wind turbines rather than the 70-some-odd. But basically, it's the same project in the same area for the very the same project that the county has denied and against the ban of large industrial wind farms. That application so far has been deemed incomplete, and the CEC responded back to ConnectGen that you have a number of issues that you need to address. The CEC, ConnectGen presently has been docketed all kinds of documents back to the CEC addressing those areas that the CEC said they were incomplete in. Now, at present, if the CEC deems the application complete, the CEC then has 270 days to write their own environmental analysis. And there will be some public meetings and things like that during that time. I know our county has talked to the CEC, and they've made it been known to the CEC that our county is very much against approval of that project for all the reasons that are in the record. But at this time, that's basically where the whole thing is.
So what you're saying is local decision and governance is really not even important at all.
Yeah, and that's really the problem with this whole AB 205. It takes the local decision-making out of the county and places it down at the state level. And that's a real concern, not just for our county, but it would be a concern for all the counties in California. And we have talked to the RCRC, which is the Rural Counties Association, and they're also aware that what happens here with this case is going to affect all counties in rural California and all counties across the state, actually.
Wow. And you know what's interesting, Nick and I, this is how I actually started on this show, is Nick asked me to do a segment about green energy and real estate, because I'm a realtor. And then he had me do a follow-up about green energy in general, and then we've spoke about it in the, over the years, in the last year and a half that I've been on the show with him. And this is the largest scam, well, next to COVID, it's the next largest scam being perpetrated on us, is because green energy is not green. These windmills, Siemens and General Electric, are paying out massive, massive amounts in insurance claims because these things were supposed to be lasting 25 years, and they're getting about 5 years out of the blades, and the motors are being worn out in about 10 to 12, and so they're having to replace and or tear them down. And here we are being forced to have something like that thrown in our neck of the woods. You just can't make this stuff up, what they do down in Sacramento.
So what can we do to fight this? Are you getting any help from the Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, let me address the first comment first. Looking at if those turbines and everything are recyclable, unfortunately they're not, or at least the blades are not. And when they're taken down, they're shipped to a boneyard back in Wyoming, and they're buried.
Yep.
And so I would agree that it's not a good use of our resources to be building these things. With respect to are we getting help, absolutely. You know, I've had meetings with my representative, well, a couple of the Board of Supervisors, as others have in the group I'm working with here. We know that the county has reached out to the CEC. We know they're developing other strategies to make a case that this is not the right thing to do. And I can't speak for the county. I don't want to do that. I would suggest you might want to talk to Paul Hillman, Director of Natural Resources in our county. He'd be a good one to represent what the county is actually doing. But they are actively engaged, I can say that.
Well, that's good. You know, one thing I think we left out there is I believe these blades are manufactured in China.
My understanding, most of the parts are manufactured in either in Europe, but I really don't know. I'm not familiar with that part of it at all.
Well, the way Europe's blowing up, it just will be China.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I know in Holland, I used to live in Holland, and they are just the biggest supporters of this wind energy. But even there, it's starting to really fall out of favor because they've got these windmills that dominate their landscape. Doesn't you can't fly anywhere in that country or drive anywhere and not see massive windmills. And they are discovering what a scam it is because they're salt air, because Holland's right on the ocean. The salt air is destroying the entire setup within 5 years. And they're now having to tear all these things down and rebuild them. And the Dutch are actually also starting to get very pissed off that they were lied to. So that's what's happened. That's coming our direction finally.
Well, those turbines also, they're full of bearings, and every once in a while a bearing will freeze up and start throwing sparks, and I think there's the potential there to start a forest fire that can't be fought from the air. Am I wrong?
Well, let me address what can happen if we lose this and CEC approves it. Right now they're asking for an area up there in the Montgomery Creek Round Mountain area to place 48 turbines. If the CEC goes against this, and they basically say they can do that, regardless that we have a ban on industrial turbines in our county, the very next thing that's going to happen is they're going to make application to the CEC for the rest of that project that we denied back in 72 or 21. And then we know from our research that there's been studies on every single ridge from Shingletown all the way to the McLeod Basin up there for wind, and if they can find areas up there, there'll be no stopping them. And I think Eastern Shasta County could look like ultimate pass, and because they'll have a wide open door to do whatever they want. We also know they've studied the ridges on the west side of the valley, and so we could see windmills over there too. So we really need to win this fight, and anything your listeners can do to write into the CEC and say, we really object to this for the safety of our people, for our aesthetic values, for our Native American cultural values. It's really important that we get as much support as we can for this.
Wow.
How would we find out to, where do we send a letter to the CDC to?
Yeah, you can go online and type in Fountain Wind is the name of the project at the CEC website. California CEC. My mind went blank. California Energy Commission. And at their website, there's a link to how you can submit comments or other materials that you might have.
Okay, so fish around till you find it. Make sure you send in a. One thing I did want to point out is when the Board of Supervisors voted against this project, there was one supervisor that voted for it, and that was Leonard Modi.
Ah, yes, Mr. Modi.
You got anything else to add, Steve?
No, that's basically what I know.
Well, I can't thank you enough for calling in. It's very informative, and this is a lot of information that the average citizen doesn't get to hear.
And they're not covering it in our local news, so this is one of the things that will come out of the blue. So thank you, sir, for sharing what you know about this project today.
And okay, well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's good to talk with you.
We're on every other Sunday, and if you feel like there's something that we need to know, call in. We'll recognize your name.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks, you man.
Have a great day. And with that, I believe we're going to go to a break. Is that right?
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Dedicated to you, David Keogh. You sucked the government's hind tit your whole life. Well, it's the truth. The guy worked for the Forest Service. Then he was in city council, I assume, for one term, maybe more. So that would have started in 1994.
Yep.
He did one term in the city council and ran for supervisor. He did 5 4-year terms from 1998 to... What do we got there? I don't know, 2018, when Joe Comente took over.
Yep.
And he was on the ground floor of a lot of decisions that have bankrupted this county.
Absolutely, yes.
And he is the epitome of sucking the government's hind tit your whole life.
Yep.
David went to college at the University of San Francisco.
Oh.
But he bills himself as a Republican and a conservative.
Yes. Hey, let me go back real quick, Nick, to our previous guest. I just got a text from somebody, and it was a question sent to me is, environmentalists are the ones that are really destroying our North State here because they won't let you do anything. And with this being such a big fire issue, why aren't the environmentalists up in arms about the fact that this is going to destroy the environment? So she asked that I bring that up, and I just thought I'd throw it out there. But back to Mr. Keogh, because he seems to be the one we're going to poke this morning because he's managed to hypocritical himself into the spotlight.
And another thing about the electrical farms, none of that, not one megahertz is going to be consumed in our county.
It's just going out on the grid and it'll go to everywhere else but here.
That's right.
But you know, Nick, I was listening to the radio the other day on the way home, and there's an ad about the recall Kevin Cry, which ties into David Keogh here. And it was this couple who identified themselves as conservative Republicans. Let's be very clear. There's not a single conservative walking this planet that would identify with any cause put on by a liberal. It will not happen. So they are rhinos. They are on the side of liberals. And stop putting the ads out there like, well, we're conservative, but we believe in this recall because Kevin lied. We're going to talk about what Kevin didn't lie about because this is getting to be where they are just – every word that's out of the, you know, there's a song about, I know you're lying because your lips are moving. That's the Kevin Cry recall effort.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to read the letter to the editor, speak your piece, and we're going to dissect it paragraph by paragraph, if not sentence by sentence. During my time in elected office, we were confronted with many challenges, budget constraints, planning issues, public safety, fire protection. Well, let's go to public safety. What did you guys do to make it better? I mean, you know, it seems like there's been a lot more crime year by year by year as David was in office.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It got worse and worse, starting with Obama. I mean, the great liberal bastion of the history. Homelessness took off, and under David Kehoe's time, it got worse and worse, and he handed it off to Joe, and it got worse and worse, and now we're here with Mr. Cry.
And, you know, it looked to me like he just kind of followed Leonard Modi's lead in, you know, oh, we don't need a jail. Actually, I played it on the show where Leonard said we've got all the jail beds we need in Shasta counties, according to studies that he looked up. And Keogh, who's been a lifelong resident of Shasta County, should have seen we don't have enough jail space. The criminals are running amok.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've had the sheriff on Carl's show, and he talks about the fact that, you know, they bring people in, and they've got to let people out to let people in. So, Mr. Modi, if, in fact, we had enough jail space, why in the heck are we letting people out every time we bring someone in? So one for one, in and out.
Homelessness.
Yeah.
Did homelessness get any better, or did it even stay even during the time David Kehoe was
on? Oh, it's substantially worse. I mean, I tell people as a real estate agent that the Reading that I moved to in 1998, there was like three or four homeless people. There was the old guy who had the big jacket, and he walked up and down Hilltop. Everybody knew him. He was harmless. And there was a couple small ones. I try to tell people that's the city I moved to. The city we have now is San Francisco Light, and San Francisco is now shipping us their homeless people. So Kehoe, you know, it got worse under his term, to answer your question.
Well, what happened is you had these Republicans like Leonard Modi and David
rhinos.
Kehoe.
We'll call them rhinos.
Well, no, they're liberals that lie,
yeah,
and say they're Republicans.
Yes.
They started providing services for them.
Yep.
And the word got out, and pretty quick, we are the welfare county of California, and we're attracting them.
Oh, absolutely. And like, you know, Jackie, the lady who spoke to the BOS, you know, she saw a busload of them unload, and they were all from San Francisco. So not only are we attracting them, we're getting them shipped our direction. And what is our police, what is our board of supervisors, what is our city council doing to stop that? That's a fair question. But under Keogh's term, it definitely got much worse.
Well, yes, and I will say I think the Reading police are doing everything they can.
Yeah.
I believe their hands are tied.
Absolutely.
But they're moving them around and making them uncomfortable, and that's what's going to get rid of them. Cut down the services and make them not want to be here.
Well, the problem is, I mean, when Paletti was the police chief, I got to do a lot of stuff with him as a president of the board. And he was saying back then that 2012, we had at that time 52 or 53 service opportunities for the homeless. They got everything free. And he said, that's what's happening. We're making it attractive, so we're bringing them here.
Yes, absolutely. Infrastructure, not infrastructure. David couldn't have anything to do with our infrastructure going to hell. Or has it gotten better?
I would say, arguably, it's gotten worse. That's what I would go with. So, you know, it's funny, they keep mentioning on the Kevin Cry thing, and that's what his letter kind of talks about, is all these bad decisions. And what the recall people don't understand, Kevin Cry has been in there long enough to make one decision they don't like. He got rid of the voting machines. And
he didn't.
Yeah.
The Board of Supervisors got rid of it.
Let's be clear.
Was one vote out of five.
3 out of 5 voted to get rid of it, and the fact of the matter is they keep bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with Kevin. The budget that we see now that has caused these empty spaces not to be filled, all this stuff that they keep saying he's wasting millions, that came from the budget that was passed by Comente, Rickards, and Garmin. And that's what's moved forward. He hasn't had a chance to actually affect any budget, cost any money yet. They're just pissed off that they're not going to be able to steal the election as they're trying to do statewide and nationwide.
Yeah, but the thing is, David Kehoe acts like the county was just running smoothly and going right along, Alice in Wonderland type, while he was there. And the fact is, it was going to hell. Fiscal responsibility. I dare say, while Kehoe was in office, he was in on making Shasta County a suburban county, to where we had to be in competition with the other suburban counties, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and pay those type of wages to our employees.
Yep.
Our management. Actually, it was management. And that's another thing Chris Street brought out on our show, was that Shasta County has consistently been 300 people short of employment.
Employment, yes.
And he believed that that money is what's being used to pay management the ungodly amount of money that they're getting. I mentioned at the supervisors meeting that the sheriff here is the highest paid employee in Shasta County, a public employee, and his total compensation is $408,000 or $9,000 when you take into consideration benefits and the PERS payments.
Yep. And all the perks. And, you know, we have a severely overbloated upper management, and most of that came during the Modi Kehoe era, where they just kept giving raises to management, but the rank and file were passed over. So we have underpaid people actually out there sweating their backs off, but our senior management is paid extremely well, relatively speaking.
And the way they got away with that was making us a suburban county.
Yeah, because that way they could sit there and say, well, we need to attract somebody from Modesto or wherever, and we have to offer the same rate of pay. And yet our housing cost back then, and I think still, were substantially less, and the cost of living here was substantially less, and we were giving them wages to, quote-unquote, attract them. And I can tell you, I've sold houses to people who moved from big cities, made less money here, and a year later they had more money in the bank and a better quality of life. That's what we had to offer.
I've got it right here. The sheriff makes $210,915,000 regular pay. He got $32,000 other pay, and his total pay and benefits is $410,000. Here we've got Patrick Minturn, who just retired. His basic regular pay was $244,500. And at the end of the day, he costs us $350,000. We'll go on down to Ruben Cruz, who just retired, $223,000. Now, this is a county whose medium pay, that means there's as many people making more as there is less, is about $45,000.
Yeah.
And we're paying our public employees that kind of money.
In 2 months. I mean, because 200 something thousand is almost 20 grand a month. So let that sink in, that when you look at the management at the city and at the county level, they are making in some cases what you work 40 hours a week, 4 weeks a month to make in 2 months what they make in basically their packages. It's crazy.
Well, for what? For me to make $200,000, I think it would probably take about, 17, 18 years now. Of course, I'm old. But here's a summary for Shasta County. Total number of employees, county employees, 1,933. Okay, total number of full-time year-round, 1,503. Medium pay, $64,602. Medium pay with benefits is $84,000.
Yeah, but I mean, you take out.
But then you take into consideration Tim Hill that goes to these meetings, and you can't even pay your employees a living wage.
What I'm saying, you take out the top bloat, and that number will substantially drop. It'll go down a ton, because you got to realize it's saying $80,000 in total compensation, but that includes the folks that are making $400,000, you know, as their thing. It's an average. It's a pool together. So you get rid of the bloated section, and I guarantee those numbers are going to drop down even more than that.
And that shows you how much out of proportion they are getting.
That Kehoe and Modi helped do during their terms.
Donnell Ewert, the one that got up there and lied to the supervisor.
Yep.
He's making over $200,000 before benefits. The total that we're paying, Shasta County is paying each year, is $159 million.
And that's wages. That's going to get worse, because the unfunded liabilities is what we've got to continue doing. And CalPERS is in a real predicament, because the governor years ago, Brown, signed in legislation that said that they have to guarantee, I think it's 7.5% rate of return to CalPERS, which nobody else in the world gets. I mean, nobody gets guaranteed rate of return but CalPERS. So if the rate, if the market turns and we are getting 1% or 2% returns, the county has to make up that difference.
That's called unfunded liabilities. And let me point out what we paid this year, 2003, what we're paying. for unfunded liabilities. For miscellaneous employees, this excludes fire and police. We're paying $17.7 million this year for unfunded liabilities. And for safety, we are paying 7.49%. That comes out to $25.2 million.
In unfunded liabilities.
That we are paying. Now, when a police department gets their budget, the first thing they do is pay this unfunded liability.
Yep.
So if they're getting $50 million, you know, that cuts it. Well, Tim Hill, how many police officers would that hire?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing with the system is their pension. I mean, it used to be growing up that, you know, you worked for the government and you wouldn't make that much, but you had a guaranteed pension and, you know, you made enough. Now, the fastest way to get to be a hog status is you go to work for the government and you just get in there. And once you're in, it's almost impossible to even fire you, even if you're bad. That goes from the teachers to the cops to the firefighters to the government to the actual management. Once you're in, it's nigh impossible to get you fired.
Let me point something out. The city of Reading's in the same boat.
Yep.
They're paying $25 million. So as a community, we're paying $50 million a year out of our budget that we give the government to give us safety and infrastructure that we can't provide for ourselves. They are taking it and putting it into their unfunded liabilities.
Yep.
And by law, that gets paid before anything else does.
Well, and when you look at that, that number is very easy. It's $1 million a week Shasta County and the city of Reading are going for unfunded liabilities. $1 million a week goes to unfunded liabilities. Let that sink in, folks. How much better could we have law enforcement or services for homeless people or who knows what? Lower taxes, crying out loud. What could we do with $1 million a week and spread it out between 180,000 people?
Oh, but Kevin Cry, he voted against vote counting machines.
And yes.
He's bankrupted the county.
Yes. And again, that's what I'm talking about, this Kehoe, and he's talking about the decision process. Mr. Cry has made one decision in conjunction with two other true conservative board members.
And I say it was a positive decision.
I think it's a great decision. I mean, there's a reason Dominion, the CEO, has publicly stated his company will go bankrupt because of the bad press it received around the United States, not Shasta County, around the United States. And it's going bankrupt. And I would ask you, if you've ever had one of those memberships or you have gift cards to Bed Bath & Beyond for $100, and then they shut the door and it goes bankrupt, you don't get that money back. So actually, when you think about it, Kevin Cry has actually saved us money in working with Jones and with Kellstrom, because otherwise we would have funded, I think, another $1.5 million was on the contract for Dominion, and it would have gone into bankrupt, and we would have nothing to show for it, and we would have no machines. That's what people are missing. The Dominion CEO has publicly stated he put it out there, so it's public knowledge. He said his company will go bankrupt even after the $700 million settlement from Fox News. He said it publicly. So for all those people who go, well, there's no plan. There was no plan for what's coming. If Dominion indeed does go bankrupt and the CEO has said it will, what was the plan, folks? What is your plan? Bring it up. Let's go.
In the last election for District 1 Supervisor, I voted for Kevin Cry. That's David Keogh. I voted for him, too, because his words and promises paralleled my philosophy and practice of government, namely to be an independent thinker, processing courage and conscience, to exercise sound fiscal judgment, to apply sound analytical skills to the decision-making process, and of critical importance to promote collegiality and respect among the board members and county staff. I haven't seen him disrespect anybody. I have seen him call out Mary Rickard on some of her comments.
Yep.
And I've seen him call out Tim Garmon, but I think he's been really restrained. If I was sitting up there, thank God I'm not, you would have heard a lot of profanity and maybe some chairs flying for what's been thrown at him that is not, in my opinion, true.
No. I mean, you know, it's a thankless job, and those guys ran for it, and they're there, and I respect them completely. And, you know, is Kevin the absolute best person in the world? I don't know. I don't know him well enough, but he ran on certain platform, and so far it seems to be that he's sticking to that. And I know that Chris Kellstrom made it very clear he was going to vote for Dominion to be taken out. So, you know, stop the BS of blaming just, Cry for a decision that was made by three of the five in the majority, and you guys are only angling for something. And Kehoe actually says in here something about the fact that Cry has said that Gavin Newsom doesn't pick the people, and there's previous examples. The reality is the reason Newsom didn't appoint the people is he was given six diehard conservative names, and he wouldn't appoint any of them. That's not the same as he won't do it. He just didn't do it. Big difference.
Cry has delivered one questionable vote after another. He dismantled our voting machine without any idea how to replace it.
I just talked about it. So, I mean, you know, he saved us $1.5 million going to a bankrupt company, and let's argue that the bankruptcy does happen. The company would have been gone. The machines would have been gone anyways. What was the plan then, folks? What, you supporters of the recall? What was the plan then? So if you're going to sit there and use a plan for the decision to get rid of them, what was the plan if it went bankrupt? You have to have both sides of that story. Stop speaking out of one side of your mouth.
Experience. Seasoned employees have left. We have more than 220 vacancies. Actually, we've had 300. It probably averages out. In county government, if people think we can continue to operate our public safety and public health services on such a reduced staff, just wait and see. We can't. Well, you know, we're doing it. What do we need a public health officer for?
Well, I mean, you know, let that sink in. Here's Kehoe saying that we should have kept the lady who locked you down. So I want to make sure you're listening to this. They locked you down for something that has turned out to be a complete hoax.
You couldn't even go to church.
Nope. And that's who Kehoe thinks we should have kept on. So let that sink in. He thinks we should have kept people like that running your life. That's David Kehoe's decision. That's his logic. So what else you got there, Nick? I know you're looking at the letter to pull something good up.
Well, I'm skipping over a lot. Why are they spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to make sure this man and two of his fellow supervisors stay in office? The board majority has made it clear they don't want to simply reduce government. They want to eliminate most of it and run it themselves. That would mean that the huge percentage of Shasta County's money, which comes from the state and the federal government, will dry up. Well, you know what? Who put us in the position that we have to beg the state for grants to operate?
Well, and Mr. Kehoe, a little flash here. That's not the state and the federal government money. It's our money. We pay the taxes that they are giving back to us. We are giving it to them, and we have to ask for them back. Why don't we just not pay them and keep it here? That would be bold right there.
Well, you know, Shasta County has always been a welfare county. I remember in 1969 they advertised in the Bay Area for welfare recipients to come up here because we had such cheap housing.
Oh.
But you know what? They've just multiplied it. Like I said, you know, we have to go beg for money for grants, and nonprofits have to beg for money. And it leaves a sour taste in my mouth every time because, as you said, that's our money. Why do we have to ask for it? And then they give us mandates, and Kevin Cry found that they're not paying for those mandates that they're supposed to by law. And he's the only supervisor that has asked that question, according to Noel DeShort.
Well, now, Nick, let me ask questions for the listeners. Was that 1869 to which you're referring, or was that 1969? You're so old, you might have been around for both times.
Well, I remember I came in off the plains from hunting buffalo and read it in the Daily Movement. There's nobody about that. You're going to be old someday, and you're going to...
I'm coming on 60, so let me tell you, I wear it. But, no, but you know what's funny is you get these politicians who they think that we have to beg the government for our money. We paid it. If we were taxed, we've got the highest road tax. We've got highest income tax. And now here's Kehoe saying that, well, you know, our money comes from the states and the Fed. It's our money. Why don't we just not send it? Why don't we do a revolt and keep our property taxes and everything here and tell the state they can pound sand? And because we're sending our money to them, then we have to ask for it to get it back. That sounds – you wouldn't do that in normal day-to-day living, and yet that's what Kehoe's suggesting that, you know, we should be doing. We should just make sure that the government is giving us our money back. And, yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Egregious behavior in public office must be tolerated. Where's the egregious behavior?
I know. He made one vote. That's all they can go on. He made one vote in conjunction with a majority of two others out of the five, and that's what they say is egregious. He's cost money, and I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt he has not cost us money. He may have, in fact, saved us money from putting money into a bankrupt system, and therefore we have a plan. And now that's the best part. There is a plan, and the state of California is working through the assembly to basically make our possible plan illegal, and that they, again, control what we do here in the North State. So we had a plan.
You know, and when these unfunded pension liabilities accumulated because of decisions that David Keogh and Leonard